Y es exacto.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to this summer training for Academy Research Fellow applicants. And this is our fourth and last session of this summer training. Of course, our Moodle environment will stay until the call ends because it's created by us. And you will get benefit of it to the last minute of the call. Today with me from our Research and Innovation Services team are Henna Gustafsson, Kirsi Syynimaa, Anne Lyytinen and Raija Oikari. And we will have many issues to talk about today, so let's start now. So first, Raija, you are here to answer the questions if anyone has about the human research ethics. So you have now opportunity to ask from Raija about these preliminary materials or anything that you would like to know about human research ethics. First of all, I will ask one question. Should applicant add ethical committee statement to the application? This is something that I have been asked so many times in every call. What you would you like to say about this?
Yes, this is a very, very common question, really. So the answer is no, you don't need to attach it. You need to be aware whether or not you need to ask for a review of the ethics committee and what is the reason for that. For example, if you do some research where you take, for example, blood samples, that is a reason to ask for a review. So you need to know that I am going to ask for a statement from the ethics committee after I have received the funding decision, but before I have started the study or recruiting the participants and so on.
Yes. So does anyone else have anything to ask from Raija? You have now opportunity for that. Just raise your hand or write to the chat.
And of course, you can send me email or call me if you have some questions later on when you are preparing your proposal. And yes. I certainly hope that the website is so good that you find all the answers there.
Yeah. Naturally, if you have some confidential questions, you could ask them from Raija directly.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. But okay.
But I'll be here if you have something to ask later on during this session.
Yes. All
right. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Raija. And then, Kirsi, would you like to say something about our Flinga task from last session?
Yes, I would kindly remind you about the collaborative Flinga task related to sustainable development. Our collaborative board is posted here, and so you can see it has started nicely. There is a couple of inputs, but more inputs are warmly welcome. It's still open after this summer training in Moodle environment. So what I ask you to do is to familiarize yourself with 17 goals for sustainable development and think about your research and choose one or some goals, put them to the Flinga and so detail what kind of your research will be and why this is important. By doing this collaborative Flinga task, you can learn from others and stimulate also your own thinking in light of your own research related to sustainable development and these goals.
Thank you, Kirsi. Yeah, and the link is at the Moodle, and maybe copy paste this to the chat also.
Yes, I can do that. Yeah. And there's also the access code that you need.
Yeah.
You go to the Flinga.
There is actually one question for Raija in the chat. I could read it here now. How is the situation regarding projects that involve school children? The main informants are parents and teachers, but it involves participant observation.
Observation. Yes. Well, also when it comes to the children, you need to ask for the informed consent also from the children. And if they are not or they are below 15 years, then you need to ask for the informed consent also from their guardians or parents. But that's all. It's okay to observe children, but you need to have this informed consent. If they are under 15 years, as I already told you, then you need to get this consent also from the guardians. And you need to remember to ask for the research permit from the school or from the county, depending on what kind of a procedure they have. But that's all. Informed consent is the answer.
Thank you. All right, let's move to the impact issues of today. And Henna is with me talking about these. What is societal impact in academy application? So here is the part of the research plan, the structure for this part. And in this last chapter, you should just tell about the societal effects and impact. And this chapter doesn't need to be very long. As they say, just briefly describe about benefits of results beyond the scientific community. And what academy says elsewhere about this societal impact is that the effects and impact of research refer to the ways in which research influences a wide variety of phenomena and trends in society. The effects and impact emerge as a result of the combined effect of research findings and other factors, and generally manifest over the long term. So Academy of Finland divides impact to two parts, and one of them is scientific impact that we have talked in our first session, and you tell in research plan chapter 1.3. So you shouldn't repeat that one in here in this societal impact chapter. This includes also economic impact that is separated, for example, in Horizon calls, and for example, environmental impact. So you tell about those in this chapter. Show the effects and impact to the society, and for example, is it long-term or short-term impact, and what kind of impact is going to happen that you think that will be happening, and who it's affecting, and what are the ways to influence in this. And in some research areas, it's easier to make societal impact than the others. At least there are more ways to do it. For example, if you are doing collaborative research with schools, for example, it's maybe easier than if you are a mathematician. And for example, if you want to influence for politics, you can do policy briefs, or maybe you can create knowledge that leads maybe later through maybe some other projects and applied projects to solutions that can be used commercially. However, every project will produce at least new information and expertise, and what you can do at least is to inform about this, for example, public, or use it at the university course that when you educate students, because the university teaching is based to research, so this is a good opportunity to do this. So main thing is to think again how this is done in your research plan and your research, because we have talked about this red line that goes throughout the research plan. It should go even to this chapter. So what kind of benefit would your project bring to society?
And can we talk a little bit about the ways how you could demonstrate or tell what is the impact that you are producing with your research? So communication, of course, is an integral part of your work and your research. So you should plan what kind of communication activities or tasks you will have during your project, and plan for resources. So commit time, funding, and think about the channels through which you will do communication. And what you should communicate is, of course, or what you should consider when you think about communication is the objectives of your research. So what kind of activities for communications you need in order to achieve the objectives for your project. You should as well think about who is your target group, whom do you want to tell what you are doing, and what kind of results or steps forward you are gaining with your research, and who should be aware of those research results. So think about that when you are writing about the societal impact, that who should be interested and who has to know about your research and the results. And it's not just about the results, but as well the implementation process of your research. So be sure to have communication activities during your research as well, not just at the end. And how? You should somehow choose the channels and means that are relevant to your research. What you are already using, if you are maybe social media savvy and you already have channels through which you can reach your target groups, utilize those. You don't have to set up new things and new channels or new social media accounts or new web pages. Use the current ones that you have, and then from there target groups that are relevant to your research at the moment. And then
And it's possible to use the university own and this social media channels too,
of course,
if you want to spread your information.
Yes. And when you should do this, as mentioned already, you should have communication throughout your project. But think about which activities you have and when. And for example, if there is something already existing events, like maybe in the University of Jyväskylä, we are each year organizing this researchers night event at the end of or the last Friday of September, participate into that and then put it into the schedule of your research that you are actively participating and preparing a presentation or preparing a speech or lecture or whatever is a suitable mean for you to tell about your research in that particular event. Or if you know that during the year there are conferences related to your research where you and your colleagues will participate, timetable or put them into the schedule of your research and be actively taking part in those events. So sort of with your communication, you don't have to spend like excessive amounts of time thinking about where you should be present and when, but consider the most important channels and ways where you could communicate what you are doing and what kind of research you have and what is going on, and sort of link it to the society. So what is happening now and where the information that you are producing would be needed, and then target to those target groups. For example, Satu was mentioning about the policy briefs. So if there are, if there is something from your field of science that is now currently heavily in the news or somehow very attractive, think about who's behind those news and how you would like to communicate your results to them. So be active in the communication part during the time span of your project.
One thing I think, if the conference is for your peers in your field, then it's more like 1.3 scientific impact. But if it's like more general one, or for example, you would go to talk for some society or something, then it's more like this societal impact.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Next slide. And how about the tools for communication? Please utilize the university communication services for this. So they will help you with the web pages. So for all the University of Jyväskylä projects, web pages can be linked to the University of Jyväskylä website. And there are good instructions how to do that. And as said, utilize already existing websites. So if from the previous research you have done, or you have been part of a project that could be related to your field, and there is a really good website already existing, utilize that. For media communication and press releases that are as well important, you can get help from the university communications. They have really good contacts for local and national media, so through them you will have expertise on how to write and what kind of press releases, for example, you should have, and what stage of your project you should have them. So do not hesitate to use their expertise on that. Just emailing and face-to-face communication is very important, so set up meetings for different kinds of stakeholder groups, and through that you could spread the message of your research. And then utilize newsletters. University of Jyväskylä has already different kinds of newsletters targeted to different groups. For example, very wide alumni network, they are receiving newsletters from the university communications, so you could have a sort of a small article on that, or then for the University of Jyväskylä newsletters as well. So don't hesitate to use those already. As mentioned, social media nowadays is a good way to contact and make this societal impact. So if you already are present in social media, use the existing channels, or as Satu mentioned, use the University of Jyväskylä social media channels for this, and videos are a good way to reach different target groups if you know that the target group that you are sort of targeting to or would like to see more videos. University communications can help with that as well, and this Moniviestin platform is there for you. And of course, seminars, public events, and science events as well, for the scientific impact, but for the social impact as well. I already mentioned this Researchers' Night event that happens every autumn. It's a good way to reach quite a large audience, at least from the City of Jyväskylä region, because it's targeted to all citizens, and that it's a good way sort of popularize the message of your research. But when you are thinking about the tools for communication and where you should be active and what kind of channels to use. Follow the communication guidelines that you can find from UNO Intranet and get help from the university communications for this. They are there to help you with this kind of a communication that goes outside academia. And next. And then we have some gathered here some guiding questions that you could think about when you are writing this part of your proposal. So when you are thinking about what is the societal impact, so think about what is the problem or what is the situation that you are aiming to resolve with the result, or not directly, but in the future, your results could contribute to some kind of a existing dilemma or problem or challenge occurring at the moment. And think about what kind of stakeholder groups you wish to reach, who in your ultimate scenario would benefit from the results that you are producing, and how do you want to influence them, and who do you want to influence, who would be your target audience that you would like to hand your message to. And think about, after you have realized your or implemented your project, what is the change or improvement from societal perspective that should occur if your project is successful. So think about that, what kind of message you want to convey and what is the sort of the best scenario when your project has been implemented. And of course, the research from the Academy of Finland is funded by the taxpayers. So sort of figure out what would be your emotional selling point, that how the society at large will benefit when you are doing a research and the results that are sort of the end product of your research. And then about the communication, how will you communicate, what kind of channels will you use, when and why this kind of a communication strategy is good for you. And ultimately, when your research is finished, who could utilize or exploit the results that you are producing? So how, from the societal perspective, the society would benefit from the results. They can be exploited so that the results can be used to in future research, or the data that you are gathering and the results you are producing could be a good base for research in the future. Or then maybe someone else in the society, policymakers or educators or someone else, could benefit and utilize your results. So think about these kind of questions when you are writing the interaction plan or the societal impact in your proposal. So who would benefit and what is the sort of the from the societal perspective, the problem that you are aiming to resolve? And then shortly about the stakeholder groups, we have grouped the stakeholders into four different kinds of groups. So when you are considering what kind of stakeholders you might target or would like to cooperate with, so there are these collaborative or co-creative stakeholders with whom you are mostly having cooperation with. So this is the sort of the inner stakeholder group with whom you would like to communicate, and you would like them to know what you are doing, and you would like to hear from them if something is currently moving on and some kind of result should be realized by research. So they have sort of a regular communication group that is important, and maybe the main target group of your research. Then the second one is such stakeholders with whom you are keen to tell what you are doing, and you would like to engage them maybe to events where you are presenting your results or your ongoing project. They are an important group, but not so heavily into the field of science or field of the societal issue that you are tackling. And then the third group is such stakeholders with whom you would have sort of a consultative approach. You could consult them or they could consult you on what kind of research should be done and in order to maybe resolve some societal issues or issues in the field of education or such, what should be done in order to reach good results. And then the third one, the inform group of stakeholders, is sort of more large audiences to whom you could convey maybe a more popularized message of your research, what you are doing and what kind of results you are aiming to reach or you have reached. So this kind of a grouping of stakeholders is for your sort of food for thought. You could realize a mind map, who are the most important stakeholders and then who are those who you want to just tell about your results and what kind of research you are doing. So not all the stakeholder groups can be equally important or equally participative or co-creative with you. So think about from this perspective as well, the stakeholder groups and the interaction level with them. And I think on the next slide, we have a mind map created for you in Flinga. So this is a link for you to go to Flinga tool. And this is a mind map about these societal impact where you could brainstorm your research plan from the perspective of the four levels that were presented in the previous slide. So if you wish, you can make a copy of this Flinga mind map to yourself and then sort of brainstorm the ideas from the perspective of what kind of stakeholder groups would be interested in your research or would be beneficial for you to engage with in order to get your message conveyed to the right target group.
Yeah, I will shortly show what we have here. Let's see if it opens it. I said that this chapter is brief, so you don't definitely need all of this, but this is just to wake up your thoughts because this chapter has been a bit difficult for some. So we have gathered here. These are familiar words from the previous slides, what, to whom, how, when, and then there are some suggestions. You can check what could fit to your plan. Here are the levels. You don't need all the levels in this, but it's good to know all of this when you apply, for example, in someday, for example, Strategic Research Council funding or Horizon funding or something, then you need to write more complete plan about your communication and so on. But for this application, you can just pick up some ideas and tell about them and show that you have recognized what could be societal impact of your plan.
Yes, and we have gathered here just examples that you could maybe have put for your own thought that what kind of interaction words. Plans or societal impact plans you could have. So,
and one thing that we don't have in slides is that you need to tell about societal impact also shortly in your public description. So remember to add it there shortly too. And you're going to say something?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And we will share this link to you.
Yeah. And make a copy with the instructions because otherwise the others see what you will plan. Okay. Yeah. So let's continue from here. And Kirsi, it's your stage is yours.
Thank you, Satu. Then there is next to required as well as very important items of the application. Namely, there is a totally new item called Merits and Increased Competencies and slightly modified CV part included in this particular call. These two parts differs from the other calls of the Academy, and it's also important to remember that these two parts need to consider together because they are heavily linked with each other. Next slide. And here is this new item called Merits and Increased Competencies, and this filled in SARA system, and the maximum length of this item is 2,500 SARA-sterks, including spaces. It's quite a short, it's like abstract, and you need to follow the provided structure which is here in the below, and you need to remember that do not add the description as an image. First, you need to describe your skills, your qualifications, your merits up to date at the time of the applying. So you need to tell your skills and competencies that you have gained until now. It's not always in your obvious form CV, because normally CV is the kind of a list of bullet points. And this is your opportunity to tell reviewers your competencies in your own words. What really have given you those skills, what you have important for your career. And second, then you need to describe what kind of steps your career you have taken after your PhD. And then third and fourth parts, you need to look future and describe how your competencies have and will increase during a funding period, if you get funding, and also after the period. So this cover pages 3 and 4. So Academy of Finland expects some sort of career plan for you, what you are going to do during this application period and after that. And next slide. And then there is a CV part. It's also filled in SARA system, and maximum length is 3 pages. And again, there is very important that you follow the proposed structure and follow this very, very carefully. And you need to notice that this CV is based on TENCS guidelines, but it's not the same. So you need to follow this kind what are proposed in Academy of Finland web pages. And next slide. And here is entry structure of Academy Research Fellow CV. Here is the headings, and illustrative subsections are presented under the headings. You will find Academy's web page. And first, there is the personal details of the CV and the date of the CV. It's very important that you consider CV as a public document, so don't include their not very personal information like your date of birth or home address or your children's birth year or something like that, because this is public document. And what's it's about degrees, it's important that you start most recent one first, and then you need to tell about your current employment as well as previous work experience. And also there you need to remember to start most recent one first. And it's very important that in your previous work experience, that your previous jobs supports your application. And then there is career breaks, like family leaves, military or non-military service, other leaves of absence, or other career breaks with dates and duration in months. And note here that no sick leaves, etc. there are. And then there is a research funding grants list here, significant research funding, what is important in light of your this particular research. And then there is a research output, what I will tell you more detailed in the next slide. And then there is a rest of the parts, and you like find the subsections under the headings in the academics web page. And next slide. Okay. This part differs from the other CVs, like I said earlier. It's important that you write there your research outputs, publications. You need to list total number of your publications, as well as write there up to 10 of your most important publications. And this again, you need to think about that, or I like to say that it's recommended to think about in your light of your own research, these 10 most important publication. And you need to notice that the complete list of application is a separate to the appendix of the application. And then there is other research outputs, and once again, you need to list 10 of your most important research outputs. They can be, for example, developed research methods, software, infrastructures, other materials, guides, or teaching content, or other outputs related to expert or stakeholder work in the field of your research. And I think there is all from my side. Do you have, Satu, something to add this part, or will we continue?
I think we will continue to yes. Appendices. Yes. So some words about publication list, what Kirsi already mentioned, and doctoral diploma and letter of collaboration. So as mentioned, in CV you need to tell the number of the publications, but the full publication list is separate appendix, and these are obligatory appendixes. Publication list and doctoral diploma, these you need to give. Publication list has an own structure that is given by Ministry of Education, Science and Culture. Follow that. And you cannot include manuscripts there. So they need to be at least accepted for publication. And then you need to indicate 10 most important publications for the research plan in this. For example, highlight them with bolding them or similar. And then doctoral diploma is needed too. Oops. And then letter of collaboration. I checked, they still say there that they will update the instructions, but the same text wasn't in the Finnish page. And usually the Finnish instructions are reliable ones. What they say that English ones are just translations. So check this before the call starts or when the call starts, but probably it's like this, what I have written here, free form, but should include at least following information, what is mentioned in the instructions, so I don't read it here. But give time for your collaborator to create this. Make it easy for them. Tell what your research will be about. What is the plan to have them there? Why they are included to the plan? So it's not just an email that says that I will be involved of researcher X's plan called this and that. So it's more beneficial if it shows why they are involved in your plans. And this is case specific, as it says, it's not required by instructions, but it's very strongly advised by us, by academy advisors, by referees to have these, because it makes easier for referees to see that the collaborator is really involved and knows about your plans. And it's easier for a decision makers too. So it's very beneficial for your plan. So we recommend to have these, even they are not required. And you can't put any mobility invitation letters, like separate ones, but this can involve also the invitation for research visit. It can include a promise that you can use someone's data, for example. And you can't add any letters of recommendations, so these can't be also letters of recommendations. Just information that shows that they are really involved and know about your plans. Yes, and Anne is here also today. You remember her from the first session, and she will talk about the reviewing. Will I share, or would you like to share by yourself?
You can share it.
Okay.
So we don't have to switch between us. So far we have discussed about the application from perspective of applicants. Now we will look at application from the perspective of review panel. I will certainly repeat many issues and tips which you have already heard, and this is as it should be, because review criteria and review process are connected to reflecting the call text which we have went through. Can proceed to decision process, which is in the next slide. Here we see how the Academy of Finland processes application. your submit application, the academy, and academy check the application. If everything is fine, then academy allocates the application to a panel, to a certain reviewer. Usually there are two reviewers for each application, and these two reviewers read the whole application and draft a review report before panel meeting. At the panel meeting, the panel discussed all applications which have been allocated to the panel and write the final review report and rank those applications which have received rating of 5 or 6, so the two highest rankings. The final decision is made by a research council. It goes through all these panel reports and application and applicants' merits. And so the decision is based on panel reports and, of course, review criteria and academy's policies. And this decision takes in two stages, which we can see in the next slide. So the funding decision is in two stages, and it takes place in the following spring. We don't know yet the dates for the September call, but they will be posted at academy websites later on. At the first stage, those applications which have received a rating of from 1 to 4 receive negative decision, and those one which have received rating of 5 or 6 goes through the second stage, and these ones can receive either negative or positive decision. As we mentioned in the first session, not all those applications which receive rating of 5 or 6 will be funded, because there are so many good proposal and limited amount of funding available. Can I have next slide, please? The Academy of Finland gives reviewers panel review instructions. And this is not what you see, the whole instructions, but some items from it, some points from it. We don't read it here, it's long, but you can find it at the academy websites. There is a link at the bottom of this slide. And we recommend you to have a look at these instructions, because there you can find tips, for example, what reviewers are asked to comment, what issues they are comment, and there is also instructions like something like these factors should not be considered in review. So let's have a look at example of the content of a review report. We start in the next slides. The first item is a competence of applicant, and the structure of review form is always the same. There's a heading of the item which should be commented, and under that there is a list of items which a panel should consider. And in blue font, there is a list of parts of application where the panel should find information what it is needed to in order to review this part of application. So this highlights that it is important indeed to follow instructions. If you write something in the wrong place, in the wrong part of the application, the panel might not find it. And also this review form is available at Academy's website. So let's start, have a look on comments which have been given in the last and 21 and 2020 calls. These comments are not from an individual review report, but they are collection of comments from several review reports, and Academy has published this collection of comments in their web pages. In the first part, panel is asked to comment on competence and expertise of applicants. And panel has pointed out that the applicants should describe in more details independence of the applicant and how independence is promoted in the funding period. The panels has also find ORCID number, for example, very useful. So that is one tip which you could include in your CV, that they see that it is very useful when evaluating these applications. And panelists has also pointed out that application should be done following Academy's guideline instructions. As Kirsi mentioned, or was it Satu who mentioned, that you should not include bibliometric indicators, something like H index or citation counts or impact factor of your journal where you have published, because these are against guidelines of the Academy. So Academy follows the principle of a responsible researcher's evaluation, and that's why this information will not be taken into account in evaluation. Next one is scientific quality. The main message here is that in many, or at least in some application, aims and objectives, goals were not written in needed details, but also that they were the quality of application is very high. And what else? So you should describe research question clearly. And there was also problems with that empirical data did not match with the research questions or the novelty in research plan was not well described. Feasibility is the next item in this evaluation form. And reviewers have pointed out here that the application, some application lack details of the methods, for example, when a panel has difficulties to assess the visibility. So details matter also here. Human resources is the next item, which is reviewed. And as we mentioned earlier, it's not enough if application contains a list of collaboration. Application should contain justification why these collaborations are chosen, why they are important for successful implementation of your research. And panels wanted to see also planned mobility, which is connected to the scientific goals of the plan, and it's also contain a timetable. And as Satu mentioned, letter collaboration are seen very useful. They show that collaborators are interested in and dedicated to collaboration, so it makes the application stronger. In this part, panel use information which you give in section applicant, possible research team and collaboration in the research plan, list of publication, mobility panel letter of collaboration. And this public science section, here you see some comments which have been given in the previous calls. And the message is here also similar kind that there was no information how the response science will put into practice. For example, if you say that this research will promote equality, it's not enough. You must describe how it in practice does this. And panelists also reminded that there should be open access publication information and also information of open data, how you will or make data open. Next, we have societal effects, which was discussed at the beginning of this session. And the panel report, for example, pointed out that how this section was described, there was some lacking information, not enough details. So this is the section which was seen that there was a lot of room for improvement. So even though this section is not giving a numerical evaluation, it is important because the differences between high quality proposal application is so minor that even minor thing might make the difference. And at the end of this review form, can I have a next slide? Reviewers asked to give a summary assessment evaluation of application, including main strength with justification. And here's one example on comments from review reports. Here the reviewers panel has commented that those applications which should be funding are those ones which have a potential for innovation, as a strong analytic framework and a link to the existing knowledge. And on the other, and also Research design is clearly described with details so that it is possible to evaluate, review the application. Reviews are also asked to summarize weaknesses, which we have next slide. So the main weaknesses has been, for example, connected to theoretical basis, unclear motivation. They might have problems with methodology or statistical analysis, or they have found that applicant or applicant's team lack needed expertise. And also the analysis and data collection methods have sometimes been quite weak. And the next slide, I have some, this academy webinars, which is which takes place in August and September. I just want to remind you about this, that the first one is in August, and title is How Applications Are Reviewed, and the last one is in September, titled How Funding Decisions Are Made. You don't need to register, and there's a link behind which you'll find more information and also material which Academy will post it there after the sessions. So I encourage you to attend these webinars. Satuni, now we can move on to next issues.
Yeah, thank you, Anne. Did you, by the way, check yet? Have they added there the review forms for this September call?
Yes, they have.
Great, because yeah, last time I checked, they weren't there yet, but because they renew them every time, so it's good to look the current ones. So here is just a take-home message slide from this day, something about everything, and it's just for you to remember some most important issues. And I want to remind you about our red line, which goes throughout your research plan and CV and everything, that you tell the same story throughout the whole plan, as we have spoken in many of our sessions, because it's most easiest to review and evaluators, to decision makers, to understand that why your research and why you are as a researcher so excellent that you need to be funded. If you have any questions, we actually have in chat some that I answered in meanwhile. Let's see, I can, because we still have the recording on, about the letters of collaboration. Is it, I have written here that they can be formal or an email, but the most important is that they show that the collaborator is involved, really involved and excited about your plans. So there are some minimum requirements, but you can find them from the instructions. And then you can refer to your unpublished studies in your research plan. Even you can't put them to the publication list, but mention they are unpublished. And if there is something what you would like to put to your CV, but there is no category for it, there are actually two categories which start with word other. One is for scientific work and other is for non-scientific work. So you can use this creatively and tell about the issues which are not listed but they which are beneficial for your application, career and research plan. For example, conference talks as invited speaker. Are there any more questions at this point or later on? As mentioned, the Moodle environment will stay until the call ends, and we will still update it. We will update it on next week. Hopefully, user will have his voice back, and we can have a talk about data management. And I think we don't have budgeting instructions there yet, but because they are under modifying looks still a bit, but on next week they should be ready to be given to you, and instructions who you can contact when you need a budget. We just visited with Kirsi in our project control team meeting, and we decided that budgets are better to prepare in August, because we still don't have any salary categories for you for this call, because they are needed to discuss in head of department dean level first, and we haven't had any instructions yet. Anything else, Kirsi? Have I told everything that we planned to say at the end?
Yes,
or
I think
Anne,
so.
Or anyone?
Yeah. And like Satu said, we put there in Moodle more extra materials, and
they are ready
next week.
Yeah. And maybe during the summer, it's easiest to reach us from this, our common email address, because at least someone of us is working at every moment. So, or during the work days, at least, not every moment, luckily. But yeah, maybe it's easiest to reach us through that. Naturally, you can contact us personally also if you like to ask something that you think you would like to ask from us directly, but that one reaches us during the summer even better than the Moodle environment chats. And I think that was about that. There aren't any more questions, so have a nice summer, and try to have some holiday at some point. You need your strength for the call in the September. Thank you of this day and this chorus, and have a nice summer.